2 Timothy chapter 3, and beginning in verse 15, the message is entitled, Bible Gifts. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege to know you, to serve you. I thank you for the church family gathered here, for friends across the nation and around the world who are praying. Father, we ask tonight that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would help us to follow your word, and Lord, encourage our hearts in these next few moments, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Over the span of our lifetimes, many of us have heard about various types of gifts and presents that can be given to children. Some of them have been given to us when we were children. Some of you might have received when you were a child a Barbie. I hope none of you men received it. I hope you received maybe a Lego. Maybe some of you had a Cabbage Patch Kid when you were younger. How many of you had a Cabbage Patch Kid? Let me see. All right. Some of you remember that. How many of you ever owned a Rubik's Cube? Let me see where you are. All the engineers, raise your hands. All right. I don't like you people because I could never figure it out, all right? So, but some of you did that just like in split seconds. How many of you ever had an Atari or a Nintendo game? Some of you had something like that, right? Some of you had perhaps PlayStation, or maybe lately we've seen the kids with the spinners, you know, all these different gifts. And it seems like every year there's another new hot gift that everybody needs to have. Well, I want to propose to you tonight, on this historic Sunday night in our church's history, that the greatest gifts we will ever give to children are Bible gifts. They are biblical gifts. We've said time and again that buildings don't change lives, but what happens in them changes lives. And what happens in the buildings at Lancaster Baptist Church is that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ is preached 7 days a week. What happens in them is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The most important thing we want to do in the kids' building is not necessarily the slide or some high-tech videos, but it is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. If a slide will help get kids excited to come, I'm good with that. But I know the reason we invite them is to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to share with you the three greatest gifts we intend to give in the building. The three greatest gifts that will be given in the Kid City building. First of all, we want every child to have the greatest knowledge available. The greatest knowledge. This is not the knowledge that guarantees the SAT score, although it may affect that. This is not the knowledge that will help them to pass some wonderful math class or perhaps some trigonometry or science class, although this will help them. But I speak tonight of the greatest knowledge a child can ever have. You see, the greatest goal in our lives is to know God. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When I speak of the greatest knowledge, I speak first of all of the knowledge of the Scriptures. The knowledge of the Scriptures. The Bible says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I suppose I could write a book on excuses Christians make. One of the excuses I've heard over the years is, Pastor, we would come to church at night, but children just don't get a lot out of it. Now, we have nurseries and we have kiddie church programs, but I disagree with the notion that a child cannot get something out of the preaching of the Word of God. In fact, if all they get is a view of dad and mom listening and an understanding that church is important, that's a very good beginning for them. But beyond that, many times they're able to get a nugget here and a nugget there, and slowly they form a foundation in the knowledge of the Scriptures. And so the Bible says the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. And I know sometimes kids get it mixed up and it's a little convoluted at first, and we've got to help them along the way. I heard of a Sunday school teacher that was teaching on how Lot's wife had looked back and turned into a pillar of salt, and little Jason got home and he was telling his mom about it, and he said, I heard a story in Sunday school today, but he said, I have a little better story, Mommy. He said, remember when you looked back, I told my teacher how that you looked back once while you were driving and you hit a telephone pole. And that was kind of what he remembered about looking back. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Children have different memory levels and different understanding levels, but over time and consistency, they can gain a knowledge of the books of the Bible, the specific passages of the Bible, and stories of the Bible. And Timothy did not begin learning his messages in later life, but that from a child, he learned the Holy Scriptures. Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. Thank God for Timothy's mother. Thank God for moms and dads here who teach from the Word of God. Douglas MacArthur said, I don't want to be remembered as the greatest general who led the armies and liberated the people. I want to be remembered as a Christian father who prayed and read the Bible with his children. And I say to you tonight that the greatest treasure we have in this church is not the auditorium, and it's not necessarily the sports record on the sports teams for the school, and it's not the accreditation for the college. The greatest achievement that we have is the educating of the next generation in the knowledge of the Word of God. And if we fail to give them a foundational understanding of the Bible, and they win every CIF championship, and they gain every kind of accreditation, and they have every kind of an AP class in the school, and yet they know not God, then we have failed our mission. Our mission is that they might know the Lord. And so the Bible says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The greatest knowledge is the knowledge of the Scriptures. And the greatest knowledge in the Scripture is the knowledge of salvation. The knowledge of salvation, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is no greater way to change a life than to see that life changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I look back often and reminisce over the years of ministry here in Lancaster, and I many times look back to those early moments and services held in the upstairs room downtown, and then as we moved into the auditorium and filled up the first row and the second row and the third row, and we always had rope coming down, and we'd rope it off and I'd say, praise the Lord, we lifted the ropes and filled up another row, and we just always rejoiced in those early memories. But amongst those memories of the church growth, I can remember very clearly that first Saturday night when Danielle was saved, and I can remember not long later when Larry was saved in our dining room, and I remember then when Christine was saved, and when Matthew was saved. And I'm saying the greatest knowledge our children will ever achieve is the knowledge of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that this building, every Sunday, as I even heard today from several Sunday school teachers about a child saved in this class and a child saved in that class, the greatest knowledge that will ever be given will be given out every week at the Kid City building to the glory of God. We see the first gift that we'll give the children is the greatest knowledge, the knowledge of Christ. I want you to see the second gift, that is the greatest wisdom. The greatest wisdom. You see, wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. The knowledge of God is fundamental and foundational, but to really understand how to walk in a relationship with God, we must have His Word, the Bible. And the Bible tells us in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I want you to think with me tonight about the scope of the Scriptures. Think about it in its scope. You see, the Bible says all Scriptures. At Lancaster Baptist Church, we do not believe that some of the Bible is inspired and other parts of the Bible maybe should or shouldn't be there. We believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe that God has given us a reliable Word and a preserved Word and a blessed Word. Jesus said, for I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. God says, I want you to put your trust in my word. And in its scope, we can know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we're thankful for that tonight. We're thankful that we have a reliable word that was written by wonderfully inspired men, inspired of the Holy Spirit of God for our benefit. But notice not only the scope of it, notice its source. The Bible says all Scripture is given, notice the phrase, by inspiration of God. That is the word theopneustos, God-breathed. This book, the Bible, is a God-breathed book, and it's a living book. The Bible says that God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. And God breathed into these men, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And we have not merely an inspirational book, but an inspired book, a God-given book. 2 Peter 1 and 20, knowing this first, that the prophecy of the Scripture is not of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, our final authority, not one of many authorities. We do not have a president of the church as the Mormons. We do not have a pope as the Catholics. We do not have some head who speaks with equal authority to the Bible. We believe as Baptists that the Bible is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And as a Baptist, no other distinctive is more foundational nor critically important for us than Bible authority. The Lord Jesus, in fact, followed the Word of God. In everything that He taught, He gave us consistently the truth of the Word of God. I think, for example, of Matthew 4 and verse 4, as He was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Sometimes we see Christian parents with a very secular mindset, and they get the idea that their children need this education and that education and to be able to stand on their own two feet. And all of those things are wonderful, and all of those things are fine. But if we forget to help them stand on the Scriptures, then we're missing the most important part of their education, for they must know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And the children of the Antelope Valley need to be able to get to a church that believes that the Bible is really God's Word. I'm saying today, young people today need more than a concert. They need more than counseling. They need more than a youth pastor that swallows worms and plays games. They need more than just a jazz fest. They need more than just a fun time. They need more than entertainment. Young people today need to know what the Bible says, and this building will be dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Its scope, all Scripture. Its source, given by inspiration. Notice its strength. It is profitable. It will strengthen the children. Children being raised in broken homes, children whose fathers are absent, children who are being raised in a society filled with social media intervention of the work of God and difficulties that they will face that are unbeknownst to us. These children will grow up in a nation that has legalized same-sex marriage and has legalized the use of marijuana. They'll smell it in the streets. They'll smell it in the playgrounds. They are growing up in a much different world than we ever thought possible. If there was ever a generation of children that needed a lighthouse, that needed a safe haven, that needed a harbor, if there was ever a generation of children that needed to come to a place that would give them the pure, unadulterated teaching of the Word of God, it is the generation just today. They must have the Word of God. The strength of it is profitable. Notice it says it is profitable for doctrine. This means the teaching, the principles that will guide them. The Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks. Everyone in their lives needs boundaries. Everyone in their life needs a standard to guide them. People today are rebellious towards standards. They say it's legalism. And I recognize that sometimes perhaps the spirit of that is oppressive or overbearing. But may I say to you that every mature Christian will have some standards in their life. Every mature Christian will have a Bible principle, and they will then establish a standard to help them keep that principle, the Bible principle. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And then they will set a standard to help them keep that principle. And I'm simply saying that children need standards. Children need guidelines. Children need to have that which is profitable for doctrine. They need to know a right and wrong and have a set of beliefs. And what a blessing this church has been for our children to come alongside of us as parents and to help establish in their minds, there are some things we don't do. There are some things that we should do. There are some places we abstain from. There are wonderful teachers helping every parent in this room to raise up their children with doctrine. Notice, secondly, the Bible says it is profitable for reproof. For reproof, this means the conviction of sin. You know, there comes a day when your children will not be with you in your home. They're going to be perhaps out in the military, perhaps out in the workforce. They're going to be in a place, maybe in a foxhole, where it's just them and God and their Bible. And you're not going to be able to be there and say, stay away from that guy that's doing this or doing that. But the Bible will reprove them if we have them hide it in their heart. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine. That's the set of standards. It's the set of beliefs. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable, thirdly, for correction. Correction is how to get it right, how to make it right. It's profitable for correction. Then it says, finally, it's profitable for instruction. That means the Bible will nurture and cultivate a heart into a greater understanding of God. The gifts that our children need, I'm sorry, they don't need more Nintendo. They don't need another game to play. They don't need another toy with which to play. Oh, they'll get those, no doubt. But the greatest need tonight is the gift of knowledge, and it is the gift of wisdom. And finally, they must receive the gift of purpose for their life. So many children are purposeless. They're just kind of hanging out, you know? I'm just going to hang out. I'm just going to, you know, see what happens. If it feels good, do it. I'm just going to kind of see where it goes, you know. If it feels good, I might do it. I'm just going to hang around for a while. But verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, it is the will of God that every child, every adult would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's will for us, his predestined will for the believer, is that we would be made conformable to the image of Jesus Christ. You do not conform to the image of Christ by just hanging out, by neglecting church, by neglecting the Bible. You'll never be more Christ-like if you neglect the greatest gift and the greatest knowledge and the greatest wisdom that's been given. And God says in verse 17 that the man of God who's in the Word of God, first of all, will experience certain types of growth. They will be made perfect, which means mature or complete. Can I tell you tonight that the Disney Channel will not perfect your child? Can I tell you that most cable television will not perfect your child? It will ruin your child. Can I tell you tonight, the devil's got pop-ups in the Nintendo games and pop-ups in the technology and the television. These are not going to mature your child into the image of Jesus Christ. The media of this world is coming against them in every way, but the Bible will perfect them and will nurture them. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God. Pastor, what's the will of God? 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Someone says, oh, that happened when I got saved. No, it happened there, but it's a continual work of God that you should abstain from a fornication, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You say, well, I'm saved. I can be in fornication. I can do all these things, and it's all good. No, it's not good. God says the will of God for your life is that you would be made conformable to the image of Jesus Christ. And children that are rescued at a young age and trained at a young age can formulate strength to stand in the evil day. That's why Jesus said in John 17:17, as he prayed to the Father, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Every child needs gospel motivation, that is a love for Jesus. Every child needs Holy Spirit conviction, that is the reproof of the Bible and of the Holy Spirit. And every child needs biblical application. How can I apply this truth to my life? And that's what Kid City is all about. Gospel motivation, Holy Spirit conviction, biblical application so that they might grow into maturity. But notice what also it says in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We see our growth, but we also see our good works. Now, if you're alive at all spiritually, and you see teenagers giving $13,000 and second graders and third graders giving $8,000, it's such a blessing, not the amount of the money only, but the fact that they're given to good works. We know that that's not the normal child. The normal child doesn't want to give. That doesn't happen in the carnal, fleshly child. It's only a moving of the Spirit that wants to give. And we rejoice in their good works. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your," what's the next two words? "Good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I know that the world would make fun of some of these teenagers and those kids with that short hair and those girls looking so girly, and the world might make fun of such things. But I believe a child with direction and wholesomeness and purity and love, they bring great glory to the God in heaven. It's glorifying to their God. And if we do our job right, there will be children that stood on this platform a moment ago, in a decade or two from now, who will be our deacons, who will be on our pastoral staff. They'll be driving buses. They'll be helping others around the world to know the gospel. If we do what God has called us to do as a church. Tonight, I propose to you that we are giving first to the Lord, but we're giving to the children. We're giving for a future generation of leaders who are going to be raised up in the image of God, who are going to be raised up in the greatest knowledge, having the greatest wisdom, and living out the greatest purpose that any generation could ever live, and that is the purpose of God for their life. I just tonight was thinking, in this past week, thinking about some of the children that have grown up in our church. Many of them are around the world tonight. Many of them are right here in this room. Children that, when we gave for this property, weren't even born. Children that, when we gave for the North Auditorium, were in the nursery. And I think sometimes we have a little trouble seeing these children and realizing how quickly it all goes. I'd like to ask some of the following just to come to the platform and help me. And there may be some that I've missed, but I've just been writing names down this week as I've thought and prayed of our singles. And if I call your name, I'd like you to come to the platform, please. Reese Alvarez, Rebecca Aguirre, Jasmine Adalpe, Brittany Anderson, Nathaniel Anderson, Adam Arvisu, Andre Arvisu, Victoria Bishop, Alec Blazik, Brian Burns, Jacqueline Carlisle. Just come up here to the platform, please. Angel Castillo, Melissa Calderon, Hannah DeLeon, Tracy Dizon, Larry Chapel, John Alvarez Jr., Deanne Donia, Jessica Downey, Joanna Hale, Morgan Hanna, Rakaya Harris, Amy Houck, Brian Burns, Jacqueline Carlisle, Angel Castillo, Landon Cox, Brandy England, Daniel Green, Seth Hanna, Christopher Henriquez, Ryan Cuban, Joy Lim, Aaron Linder, Trevor Linder, Alyssa Lofgren, Jeremy Lofgren, William Lofgren, Celeste Johnson, Christopher Henriquez, Teresa Kesey, Megan Lester, Natalie Montez, Gabriel Lofgren, Danielle Mord, Michelle Lombard, Garen Patrick, Joshua McCary, Priscilla Serrano, Joshua McCullum, Christine Sisson, Rachel Stoner, Michaela McDaniel, Hannah McKinley, Leah McKinley, Alicia Whitman, Emily Minivar, Andrea Ordonez, Roberto Palencia, Jacqueline Kichocho, Diego Salas, Benjamin Sandoval, Kurt Messerschmidt, Sarah Santos, Ricardo Soria, Rachel Stoner, Zachary Stoner, Benjamin Tanner, Anna Tierney, Peter Tierney, John Alvarez Jr., Rebecca Weaver, Jessica Weiss, Rachel Weiss, Derek Whitman, Paige Whitman, Monica Williams. Perhaps there's others. If I haven't mentioned your name, if you grew up here and you came through our school or youth group, you were a child in this church, come on up here on this platform for just a moment. I knew I'd miss some, but just come on up. Just help me out for just a moment. These are young people that were in the nurseries of this church, that were in the preschool, that were in the elementary school, that were in the high school. These are young people that are in church on a Sunday night in Southern California, where I'm told you can't have a Bible-believing fundamental church. These are single adults, and these are married adults. These are deacons and Sunday school teachers, and these are engineers, and these are police officers. And here on the platform is the brother of John Tanner, and here on the platform are young people that have decided to stay. And I want to just thank you for that tonight. I know a lot of your peers are all different kinds of places, and I know there's some that aren't serving the Lord, but you're not only serving the Lord, you're faithful tonight in your home church, being faithful to the Lord. And I want to say, as your pastor, that's a great encouragement to me, and I love you with all my heart. And I think that these adults illustrate what Kid City is all about, because they not only had parents, but they've had various different people to teach and instruct and nurture them along the way. And they have received the greatest knowledge, which is Jesus Christ, and the greatest wisdom, which is the Holy Scriptures. And they are living out the greatest purpose, which is doing good works for their God. And what I want to say tonight is, through the offering, let's add to this number and let's send hundreds more around the world. And many are watching on live stream that could be standing with these young people, and they're preaching the gospel in foreign countries, and they're in Hawaii and different places, in Afghanistan, in the military, and they're living for Jesus Christ. But where did they get their foundation? In the Sunday school of Lancaster Baptist Church. They've received a foundation. And I want us to picture that in their mind, because some of the little ones that sang a moment ago, just that fast, could be up on this platform as well. Would you thank all of these who've grown up and are being faithful? Thank you for helping me. You can be seated tonight. God bless every one of you. Every year, Terry begins planning for Christmas the day after Christmas. In fact, there's some pretty good sales the day after Christmas, so I'm like, you go, girl, go out there and you get that stuff, you know? And it's just amazing to me. I mean, first of all, we never go to any city without going to Walmart. It's like, honey, do you want to see Mount Rushmore? Can we see Walmart? I hear they have a good one here. North Dakota, wherever it is, South Dakota. How about the Grand Canyon? There's a Walmart in Flagstaff. I'm glad you mentioned that. And she's just got an eye for things that are a good deal for Christmas. And she's just always thinking ahead because of her love for our family. She thinks of special gifts and helpful gifts, and she thinks of unique gifts that might help them along their journey of life. And she thinks about it really all year long. And tonight, we have come to give to our Lord and to the children. And I hope you've been thinking about it and praying about it. And I hope and pray that together, Lancaster Baptist Church will take a giant step forward tonight to raise up another generation. I hardly preach anywhere around this country without meeting people who were saved in the Sunday school of Lancaster Baptist Church. It is the greatest joy of my life to see this crowd that stood here just a moment ago and to know that God is working and blessing His Word in a special way. And tonight, we take a vote and we say, Lord, would You do it again? And I know that there are some that are new Christians or just not understanding yet that they're not even here for the vote. And that's okay. But God has brought us together for such a time as this, that we might give the greatest gifts to the children that they have ever received.